Welcome to the Brett Boone Podcast. Explore the mind of MLB All-Star, Silver Slugger, and Gold Glove winner, Brett Boone, as he sits down with his friends from the world of professional sports. Now up to bat, Brett Boone.
Welcome to the Brett Boone Podcast. I am Brett Boone. Today on the program, I'm joined by author and Yankee beat writer, Brian Hoke. Brian, welcome to the podcast. Doing it.
Thanks, Brett. Doing great. Thanks for having me.
Right out of the gate, what is your read? What are you seeing? Clubhouse, players, this strike lockout situation. Owners have made two proposals. One, hard cap. Second one, they're starting to say high school guys can't be drafted. My opinion, two non-starters, and the owners know that, but I think they got to start somewhere. Your thoughts and what you're seeing.
Brett, I thought you were going to start me off with a Yankee question here, but
we'll get to that.
All right, cool. Look, I think it's going to be a lot of back and forth. I think it's going to be a push-pull. I think both sides are probably posturing and feeling each other out right now, just trying to see where it is. And look, honestly, in my role here, I'm just kind of focused on the baseball and what's happening on the field. I feel like whatever's going to happen is going to happen in the offseason. So, I mean, we're going to get through October. We're going to get through the World Series. And I feel like at some point they'll figure out what's going on and we'll have a 2027 season. But right now, honestly, I'm not even watching it that closely because I just feel like that is so far in the future. As far as I'm concerned, we got great baseball happening right now. And that's kind of what I'm watching.
Yankees. I'm impressed with the Yankees. I mean, I knew, you know, they've been a really good team for a long time. I mean, and I looked at that division this year to open the season, and I thought, well, that's the class of baseball right there, that American League East. I thought the National League East and the American League East were both the class. I was dead wrong. The American League as a whole is just it's just a disappointment as far as, well, maybe you could say it's parity. Maybe you can say, hey, it's great because there's so many cities involved. What in your opinion has happened to that American League East? I watched down the stretch last year, and I'll start with Toronto and how great of a season they have. What a team camaraderie playing against them when I was at the Rangers down the stretch. You come away from certain series and you say, That's an unbelievably great team. That's a World Series caliber team. Toronto, I came away with, there's something, they had something special going on. They had a nose for the finish line. They knew how to win games. Something going on special as far as a cohesive unit. And you don't have that all the time. I've been on really good, talented teams that we didn't have that. And I've been on decent teams that had it. There's a difference. They pushed the Dodgers to they were one game away from winning the World Series. Boston, I think, impressed last year and kind of overachieved for what people were expecting and did great. I thought they bettered their roster, and I thought they were going to be a better team. Nothing. Tampa Bay, for me, they need to be studied long-term. How they do it year in and year out with that payroll, it's just it's a cap tip to that organization and what they do year in and year out. When it, you know, year to year, I can't name half the team, but right there. they compete and they knock at the door every single year. It's really impressive. Then Yankees at the top. What you've seen so far in the East with those teams.
Brett, what I would have told you on March 25 is completely different than what I'm going to tell you right now. And I would have seen the Yankees as a wild card team. I would have thought that Toronto was the team to beat in the division. I thought the Yankees were going to be good. I just thought that Toronto was still had the edge, and the Yankees needed to prove that to me, that they could beat Toronto head to head, because that was a big reason they didn't get the division last year. Yankees started out with, I think they had a 7-game lead at one point. That got lost away. And Toronto, you're right, they just had some magic going on last year. I covered that team during the ALCS against Seattle. So I was there every day and I got to see that. And you're right. That, look, if Isaiah Kiner-Falefa gets a better lead or is one or two steps off third base, they're World Series champions right now. So not to take anything away from what they did last year, they had some magic, something special was going on up there. I don't get that same vibe this year. that same thing doesn't seem to be there. And so did they overperform last year? Yeah, probably a little bit. And maybe the Yankees underperformed a little bit. But yeah, I thought you didn't mention Baltimore. Every year, I think this is going to be the year that Baltimore kind of delivers on the promise they have. And every year, it just doesn't really happen. Boston is way worse than I thought they were going to be. I thought that, I liked a lot of the pieces they had there. And if I had to forecast this whole division, I figured everyone was going to be at or around 500, better than 500. I thought the one team that wouldn't, maybe Tampa Bay, would have 79 wins or so. That's not going to happen. They're going to be well above 500, and the other teams are way underperforming. And I just think that the Yankees are the class of the American League right now. You look at them, who's going to stop them? Who's going to stop them in the American League? I feel like this has a feeling a lot of like when in 2024, after the Yankees late in the season, it felt like they had a free ride right to the World Series, because who was going to stop them? Kansas City, Cleveland? I didn't see that happening. But the problem is, when you get there, you got those big, strong teams in the National League right now. And that's what I feel like. The Yankees are among the best teams in baseball. They're the best in the American League.
I agree with you. And it's Tampa. I mean, there's three teams over 500 in the American League. Or no, I'm sorry. There's three teams with a plus run differential.
Right.
In the American League.
And the Yankees are well above 100 in the run differential. So it's not even close. Yeah.
Right. Seattle, I think, second, and Tampa Bay's barely in the positive.
Yeah, we're talking like 5 or 10. Right.
Right, right. I mean, I'm kind of, you know, when it comes to the East, which is your forte and what you cover on a daily basis, that's just one narrative of what's going on. I've got baseball buddies that, you know, come to me for their baseball questions, and I've kind of disappointed them this year. They're like, oh yeah, you said this. I said, I just tell you what should happen. I can't tell you. Yeah. Baseball is a crazy game. I look across the American League, I'm shell-shocked. I look at the Seattle Mariners. To be honest with you, I thought the Yankees were going to be good. I had Boston to win that division. And
really?
I had Baltimore. Doesn't surprise me what they're doing. I didn't expect much out of them, but I expected the Seattle Mariner team to be the class of the American League with those five starters, now six with Castillo, with Hancock coming into his own, with that offense they have in place. I thought in the division they're playing in, I thought that's a cakewalk for the Seattle Mariners. They're proven wrong. They're barely above 500. I just look at it and it's crazy. I think it's great for baseball because I think there's a lot of intrigue. I think the fans in so many cities are going to be engaged. I think that deadline is going to be unbelievable because you've got so many people in the should we go for it, should we not go for it zone, which not is always the best position if you're in the front office. But from a fan's perspective, I think the intrigue's great. I think it's great for the game. Your thoughts?
Absolutely. I think that's what the extra wild cards do for you, because there's so many teams that you get down in July and it's like, well, we could be in it, or should we punt and give up on the season? And then you got 2 months where you're just kind of fast forwarding to the next season. I feel like most teams more often than not are going to be in it. And that makes the bidding prices go higher. And that's what we're talking about here as observers of this sport. Like, you're going to have to pay if you want to get a Tarek Skubal, for example, at the deadline. Like that, the asking price is going to be crazy on that if you want to rent him for a half season. So I'm so excited for what is going to happen in the next few weeks. You got the All-Star game coming up in Philadelphia, which is going to be unbelievable, with America and the 250 and all that. I think that's going to be a great show that MLB is going to put on. And a few weeks after that, you got the trade deadline. Then you get down to the nitty-gritty here and you start to see contender and who's a pretender. But the one thing I would say is that, yes, I think the talent level and the win-loss records are not where I would expect it in the American League. But once you get in that tournament, and look, the New York Knicks just proved it here. Different sport, I get it. But I think going in, nobody picked the Knicks to be the best team in the NBA. You've got to be the hot team at the right time. And you've lived this at times too, Brett, in your career. You run into a hot team in the postseason, they just knock you out. And so I think that it's going to be a great finish this season. I'm really looking forward to it.
And I think, you know, and I've covered this a lot. I've said this. The game is different now with the wild cards edition and so many teams having the ability to make the postseason. It's the easiest it's ever been in the history of baseball to get there. And I can argue it's the hardest it's ever been once you get there to get to the promised land and win it. So you know, the purist in me, I love that 162. I love that grind. I think that proves over that amount of games who the best team is. We don't have that anymore. But then the postseason was like, oh, one series and we go to the World Series. Right. From an entertainment value, from a fan's perspective, I much enjoy the current. So many people involved. You don't know what's going to happen. Like you said, once that postseason starts, you get the hot team. I just remember a few years back when the Arizona Diamondbacks were barely over 500. Next thing you know, they're knocking on the door. I think that's great for the game. And I just think, I don't know. I think that's why I opened with the strike lockout question. It's like there's so many good things going on, especially international. I hate that it comes to this right now with the game. I think in so many ways is thriving. Okay, let's get to the Yankees. Schlittler, he's kind of making himself. I think we're beyond the I got to see a little more stage. I'm watching. This guy has been doing it for a while now and doing it at an unbelievable pace. You got Cole back. Huge addition to that. I think Rodon is steady. Will Warren's done a nice job. Reminds me of a Schmidt a couple years ago.
I agree.
He's in that fourth or fifth spot. And they're cruising right now. I think that's the new way of Major League Baseball. I watched the Dodgers do it. You know, and a couple years ago, they talk about my Seattle Mariner team, 0-1, 116. Can the Dodgers beat it? On paper, absolutely. But I don't think that's how the Dodgers go about it. They just think, get to the tournament, like you said, get the guys healthy at the right time, and that's when the season really starts. By getting this type of lead, the Yankees are 46-30 while we're doing this show. They're kind of in, hey, we can cruise mode, we can give a guy's rest mode, we can absorb a couple injuries, which they have to this point. But I look at this roster and I look around the American League, and it's Schlittler, Cole, Rodon, Warren, Weathers currently. But you've got Fried that's going to come back in the second half. Talking about the Seattle Mariners and that great rotation they have, I'll tell you, that healthy Schlittler, Cole, Rodon, Fried, Warren, Weathers, possible Schmidt coming back. That's as good as any rotation for me, I think, in the American League.
Yeah, give me four of those guys in a postseason series, and I like the chances, right? So, when Judge got hurt, and it didn't look great, and we were still kind of in it. Does he have thoracic outlet syndrome, all that? And it turns out, of course, as you know, to be a fractured rib. But I was talking to a scout, and it was basically kind of doom and gloom, like, what are the Yankees going to do? And he said, it's fine. The Yankees are going to be fine because they can pitch, and go look at the arms they have there. And that's basically what you've seen here. Look, are they going to put up 8-10 runs a night? No. And they did struggle in that three-game series to hit with runners in scoring position against the Reds. That's going to come and go. But you've still got Cody Bellinger. He's having one of his best years. Ben Rice is going to be an all-star. Paul Goldschmidt at 38 is rolling the clock back. He has impressed me so much. He came into this, and I have a story up today, and I talked to him yesterday, and I just said, you know, what kept you coming back here? Because I think that after last year, if he wanted to just say, that's it, I'm good, it was a career, I get it. Like, I would totally get it. He came back for 1 year, $4 million, which is, you know, bargain rate for a guy with his resume, with MVPs on the shelf and gold gloves and all that. And he said, I just love being around these guys. I love being in this clubhouse. And I think that's what the Yankees have kind of fostered here. And, you know, I think Aaron Boone deserves a lot of credit for that, to have that kind of environment where guys just want to be at the ballpark and want to, even if they're not in the lineup, they want to be around that group. And that's what I think that brought Goldschmidt back. That comes from Boone. It comes from Aaron Judge. It comes from ownership, of course, you know, wanting to put a team on the field that can win a championship every year. Now, that being said, they haven't won one since 2009. So we're all kind of looking at the clock here and saying, I go back to the Knicks again. You see how cool New York can be when there's a parade. I covered that parade in 2009. I remember what the feeling was in the city where everybody was wearing Yankee hats, and you go down the street and you can't not hear the Jay-Z and Alicia Keys song coming out of every bar. City was Yankee crazy, and I feel like people are just hungry for that to happen again. And I get a little vibe of that in the clubhouse too. I think that guys know how special that would be because you're a part of forever when that happens.
Yeah, and obviously Judge being best offensive player in baseball. I don't want to disrespect Shohei Ohtani, what he's doing. But for me, Judge is that guy. When he's right, there's nobody close to him. He's the Bonds of this generation. He went down. Stanton's been down for a while now. Right. And that's why I look at that Yankee team. And I always tell my brother when we talk, I said, you're in a position where all you need to do is hold serve. You've got such a nice cushion. You're the class of the American League right now. All indications are you're going to the postseason. It's just when that postseason hits, let's have everybody healthy. You're going to have.
Let me guess. Back. When you say that, Brett, does he say there's a long way to go?
It's weird. You'd think off the record, and when brothers talk, I could get some real feedback. Aaron. Sometimes on the phone, I'll say, you know, you're talking to me, right? There's no cameras around, but yeah, he will say that, but, and it's easier said than done, you know, going back on the field for me a year ago, cause through the years of Aaron managing in New York, we have a lot of brother contact. And sometimes he's calling me, asking me opinions. Sometimes we're just talking. Sometimes we're just checking in, but our personalities are pretty different. Aaron's just, man, he wants to get to the ballpark at 12 o'clock and figure everything out. He's kind of like my dad. Mm-hmm. When I'm more of a, you realize that you can't hit, you can't play. All you can do is put the names up there and put them in position to win and let it go. It doesn't matter the lefty, righty, you made the right move. Nowadays, a computer can almost do that. It's not about that. It's managing people. And I used to have that kind of casual attitude, like, I don't know why this guy gets so stressed out. And when I went back on the field, and now all of a sudden, you know, I'm the hitting coach and I've got 13 hitters and they're my little kid. They're my kids.
Sure.
I talked to Aaron, and about a month into it, I said, Artie, and I call him Artie. I said, I want to apologize for telling you, why don't you just relax? I said, now I get it. I get it. The one thing that surprised me is I cared so much. It's like, I knew I was going to care. I knew I was going to, you know, give him what I had, but I thought, I didn't realize that I cared like this. I wanted to go apologize to every coach, manager I ever played for, what I put him through, because I had no idea what they go through. So now I understand that. But I look at this team, Bednar, Hendrick, Cruz doing a great job in the bullpen. But if the Yankees, I think at the trade deadline, need one thing, I think they need to address that pen. Being that everything else goes good, Grisham went down. He's there. He's on the IL right now. You're going to have all these guys coming back and hopefully come back without a bump in the road. You know, Freed being really important, obviously Judge being really important. But if you look to the Yankees at the trade deadline, for me, landing a big closer to really shore up that bullpen is it. You watching him every day. What do you think they need, and are they going to be a team that pulls the trigger at the deadline?
Well, yeah, they're definitely buyers, and I agree with you. Yeah, you look at bullpen, I think that's the easiest area to probably upgrade. You're going to have arms out there, and look, if they can go get a closer, fantastic. But also remember, you've got Freed coming back probably next month, and you can't have a six-man rotation. There's just not something they're not going to do. So one of those arms, whether it's Will Warren, whether it's Ryan Weathers, you're going to collapse them into the bullpen. And then you got a multi-inning option down there. That's pretty important. Carlos Lagrange, the kid down there in the minors who throws 99, 100, really opened eyes in spring training. I mean, when you've got Gerrit Cole and Max Fried telling you, that's something I've never seen before, a kid throwing 103, 104 in a live BP in an empty stadium, it was pretty cool to watch. And so I think that can be a difference maker. And it reminds me a lot of what the Yankees had in 07 with Jabba Chamberlain when he came up in August, and it was almost like a get out of inning free card for Joe Torre. It was pretty insane. He would come in with that fastball slider, and that was all he needed. He would get you out of the inning, and then you get the ball to Mariano Rivera, and the Yankees were set up there in the late inning. So I feel like he could be that kind of impact. I know they want to talk about him as a starting pitcher going forward, but go win a pennant, go win a World Series, and then figure it out from there. And so whether what he winds up being, I know control, throwing strikes, that's been the issue with him, but that's an electric arm that I feel like can be a real difference maker. And I know that, you know, fans might not know his name now, but I feel like you look up in August, they're probably going to know who he is.
Going across town, what do you think of this this National League East and this Mets team? I mean, high expectations, huge payroll. Steve Cohen's got the question is, and at this stage of the season, I think the obvious answer to the layman would be, well, the Mets are probably sellers. I have no idea with Steve Cohen and what he wants to do. You never know what they're going to do, but I think on paper, for what the expectations were, everything going in, I think it's been a disappointment so far. How much do you keep your eyes on the Mets, and what are you seeing over there?
Yeah, I mean, you can't help but watch. I mean, you know, obviously I know Carlos Mendoza because he was a Yankee coach for a while. And so I feel like he's been dealt a tough hand there because he thought he was inheriting what you're talking about with Boone there. You basically had a Porsche you were given and you were told keep it just between the white lines and drive it to the promised land. And he hasn't been able to do it. And it's not his fault. The players haven't performed, but now they're in a teardown. You let Pete Alonso go. You've had to kind of rebuild on the fly. The fans don't particularly love the team right now. And so you spent a lot of money on Juan Soto for $765 million. And this is the result you're getting. I think that if it proves one thing, it's that what the Dodgers are doing is actually pretty special because everybody looks at the Dodgers and said, well, that's easy. You just go buy everybody and then you go win a World Series. Clearly not, because go look at what the New York Mets are doing. And I think that one by one, go look at the trades and the moves they've made. Nobody was pointing to that and saying that's a terrible move. You shouldn't bring in Juan Soto. That's not going to help your team. Everybody thought it would, maybe long term, maybe in year 14, it's not going to look great. But right now, that looked like a fantastic move and it just has not translated. And so I'm not sure what it is with the culture there, but it feels like it goes back beyond the current ownership, back into the Wilpons, back to Shea Stadium, just whatever it is, the formula never seems to be quite right. And so, no, I know that Steve Cohen is trying to change the narrative there. And I feel like eventually he will get it right, but it's going to be a longer rebuild than I think anybody anticipated it was going to be.
Yeah. And new guy, you know, Holmes to me, by the way, he comes over from the Yankees. And I was very skeptical. Well, you can't just turn this guy with his motion, with his mechanics. You can't make him a starter. I was dead wrong there. He did a great job. He's on the shelf right now in the IL. Right. Louis Robert, I had no faith in that move. I've been watching Louis Robert for years. I'm not going to question his ability and his tool set. They're there without a doubt. But once again, he's down. Who knows when he's coming back? Polanco's had some nice years. He came over from Seattle Mariners a year ago. I think he hit 28, 29 home runs. And then Lindor, he's been the question mark. It's like, what is going on? I think he's back now. You've got to kind of be in that clubhouse to probably know what's really going on. I know as a player, you know, we tried to keep everything in house that was behind the scenes. Who knows what's going on there, but you're right. Mendoza, one of my favorite guys, and I don't love him that well. I've had several conversations with him, and I've really, something about him strikes me as just impressive. A good guy, a poised guy. I know he worked for the Yankees as a bench coach for years, but I really like him. And so I'm kind of, a part of me is always pulling for him a little bit, and to see this going on, that's a little tough, but that's, once again, National League East, it's the way it is right now.
Oh, yeah. And then it's funny you mentioned that Clay Holmes injury because that happened in the Subway Series against the Yankees. And if I remember right, he stayed out there and he faced like seven more hitters with a broken leg, which is just insane. And then I saw him the next day because he was walking around on a little scooter and he had everything wrapped up. And it was like, God, he had a fractured tibia and he stayed out there. And I guess it's just your adrenaline going. And you don't want to come out of the game, but wow, I mean, that showed me something. That's a gamer right there. And no, it was funny when the Mets did that. You know, I was asking people around the Yankees, I said, did you ever think about turning Clay into a starter? And, you know, Matt Blake, Boone told me like, no, that was never on our radar at all. And it was so kind of like, all right, going to wait and see how this one turns out. It turned out great until it didn't. And freak injury, a line drive back up the middle. What are you going to do? But very impressive that, you know, Clay set his mind to that and said, I'm going to go become a starting pitcher. I think I can do this in this league. And he proved it. Now he's just got to get back healthy.
You mentioned earlier, and I'll finish with this. You mentioned Tarek Skubal, and you talk about throwbacks. This guy is a throwback.
Oh, I love Skubal.
Oh, he's just, you know, he's got balls. He's just an old school. Give me the ball. Get out of my way. Get off my mound. But in his private life, he's a humble kid, a thankful kid, a guy that's worked hard to get to where he was. I played golf with him a few years ago, and I remember he said to me, he said, Boone, and this is after his first Cy Young, And he said, Booney, he said, this is unbelievable. He said, and he just had questions for me about my time and my career and what it was like versus then, but what it's like now. And he said to me, he said, you know, this is unbelievable winning this Cy Young. He was just about to get his first arbitration and make some real money. And he said, this is all awesome. He goes, but you know what's funny? He said, people think I just got here and became I was just a Cy Young. He goes, right. look at my bubblegum card the last 4 or 5 years and what I went through to get here. He said, there were times where I thought I'm never going to make it. I'm not going to, you know, I'm going to play in the big leagues for a year. I'm going to get out of here. And he said, you know, something clicked. I found something that worked for me. And here we are winning a Cy Young. But it was a real humble way of going about it. And you get to see that when you play a round of golf with someone, you get to see if, yeah, they're going to be humble for the cameras and in front of me to make me think they're a good guy, but you can see through it. And he was really humble about, hey, I'm thankful as hell. And he's got some confidence, but he should.
Yeah.
But it wasn't arrogance. It was like, I've been at the bottom and right now I'm at the top, but that being at the bottom has taught me how to behave when I'm at the top. I think a lot of us go through that in our journey because we're kids at one point, then we turn into big boys and we look back and we go, man, we look at the things we did when we were younger and the way we thought and the way we walked and the way we talked and we thought, I had a lot to learn. I think he's already done that at a young age. Your thoughts on Scooble, that's going to be the big, if Scooble comes back from this injury and pitches like the Scooble the last 2 years, back-to-back Cy Young Award winners, this, he might fetch more than anybody in the history of the trade deadline. Who do you think is going to go after him? And for me, it's got to be a team that's going to want to keep him, right? I mean, for a rental, you're probably going to have to give up the most that's ever been given up. And I don't think anyone just wants a rental. So they want to think long-term if they're going to give up the minor league system and maybe a couple good big leaguers to get a tourist school.
No, I think and you're absolutely right, because we, up here in New York, we had Scooble at the baseball writers dinner when he picked up those Cy Young awards. And it's just so impressive how he carries himself. And, you know, some of these guys come in on the red carpet and they kind of, you know, they're flashy and look at me, and they've earned that definitely. But Scooble, I feel like that humble, what you're talking about there, that came through, but also the grit and the focus and the determination, the idea that, yeah, I'm here to pick up the Cy Young award tonight, but I'll be back next year. And I'll be back the next year, the year after that. It's kind of that mindset, that focus. So that really impressed me. And yeah, you know, I think it's crazy, honestly. Can't tell me the Detroit Tigers can't keep one of the best pitchers in their history. It's crazy to me we're even talking about him being a rental, because if I'm a Detroit fan, I want to watch that guy for his entire career. I mean, this is a dying breed we're talking about here. The Justin Verlanders, the Max Scherzers, the Garrett Coles, we're not going to see too many more of these guys, and you've got one right there in your living room. I can't believe we're talking about Detroit letting him go. I understand the situation, what they're in, with you want to gauge the marketplace. But to me, I'd rather keep him if I'm Detroit. But, yeah, you better get a lot back for him. It better be a 4, 5, 6-player package that we're talking about here. To me, it kind of reminds me of what the Yankees had to do when they traded for Juan Soto. In that situation and you got a full year out of Soto, so maybe the asking price won't be as great, but they had to give up 5-player package there to San Diego to go get him. I think that's the kind of thing that it's going to take. And but I think it also, you need a starting pitcher at the deadline. Pitching is the key to the kingdom. Brian Cashman has always said that. I think it is true. You get in those short series, you want a stud like Tarek Skubal on the mound for you. And I think that whoever is going to go get him, look, championship flags fly forever. Prospects are cool, but parades are cooler. I've heard that 100 times, and I actually do believe it. I think that if you're in position to go for it, you got to go for it and then figure out what the cost is later.
Yeah, and I think it's a different – we're talking differently right now if Detroit had played the way everybody thought Detroit was going to play. If they're winning right now, we're not talking about trading Scooble, but the way the season's gone, I think that leads to a lot of the speculation.
I'd still rather keep him forever if I'm Detroit.
Yeah.
I'll build too. Around him, and we'll try again next year.
Absolutely. Okay, you wake up. It's August 1st. Crystal ball, Brian Hoke. What have the Yankees done?
By August 1st?
August 1st.
By August 1st, I think the Yankees are probably going to trade for at least one bullpen arm. Maybe David Bednar now becomes your setup man. I think that Carlos LeGrande is going to be banging on the door, and he's going to maybe become your seventh inning man. You're going to have Fernando Cruz there. Brent Hydrick, you're probably going to scale him back a little bit because there's been such a heavy workload. Camilo Doval, I'm not sure what they're going to do with him. Maybe he's in mop-up relief. Maybe you flip him to another team. I'm not exactly sure, but it's clear that he's probably not going to be an answer for you. And I think, let me surprise you here, Yankees might trade for a shortstop. I think that they could bolster their middle infield. I'm not sure where they're going to go with Anthony Volpe here. It's clear that, look, they want it to work so badly. They keep giving him time in there, but Jose Caballero has outplayed him at shortstop, and now you got Caballero bouncing around the field in positions where he really shouldn't be. He was in center field this weekend just because to accommodate Volpe. I don't love that long-term, and I think that you've got George Lombard Jr. I know that he's probably your future at shortstop, but I think the middle infield would be an area where the Yankees might make a move here. And then you got Max Fried coming back. So by August 1st, you should have Fried back in the rotation. You know, knock on wood, if you're the Yankees, you got a healthy Schlittler. You got Cole. Clark Schmidt might be back in some kind of relief role. So the Yankees are going to have a lot of pitching coming on the way. And I think that you look up August 1st, they're probably going to have a pretty good lead in the American League East too.
All right, Brian Hoke, I appreciate it. It's been great. For those of you out there watching the Brett Boone podcast, now check it out on YouTube. For those of you listening to the Boone podcast, it's on the Odyssey app, wherever you download your podcast. Until next time, keep it here. Brian, thank you.
You got it, Brett. Anytime.
Welcome to the Brett Boone Podcast. Explore the mind of MLB All-Star, Silver Slugger, and Gold Glove winner, Brett Boone, as he sits down with his friends from the world of professional sports.
Now up to bat, Brett Boone.
Welcome to the Brett Boone Podcast. I am Brett Boone. Today on the program, I'm joined by author and Yankee beat writer, Brian Hoke. Brian, welcome. I kept doing it.
Thanks, Brett. Doing great. Thanks for having me.
Right out of the gate, what is your read? What are you seeing? Clubhouse players, this strike lockout situation. Owners have made two proposals. One, hard cap. Second one, they're starting to say high school guys can't be drafted. My opinion, two non-starters, and the owners know that, but I think they got to start somewhere. Your thoughts and what you're seeing.
Brett, I thought you were going to start me off with a Yankee question here, but
we'll get to that.
All right, cool. Look, I think it's going to be a lot of back and forth. I think it's going to be a push-pull. I think both sides are probably posturing and feeling each other out right now, just trying to see where it is. And look, honestly, in my role here, I'm just kind of focused on the baseball and what's happening on the field. I feel like whatever's going to happen is going to happen in the offseason. So, I mean, we're going to get through October. We're going to get through the World Series. And I feel like at some point they'll figure out what's going on and we'll have a 2027 season. But right now, honestly, I'm not even watching it that closely because I just feel like that is so far in the future. As far as I'm concerned, we got great baseball happening right now. And that's kind of what I'm watching.
Yankees. I'm impressed with the Yankees. I mean, I knew, you know, they've been a really good team for a long time. I mean, and I looked at that division this year to open the season, and I thought, well, that's the class of baseball right there, that American League East. I thought the National League East and the American League East were both the class. I was dead wrong. The American League as a whole is just it's just a disappointment as far as, well, maybe you could say it's parity. Maybe you can say, hey, it's great because there's so many cities involved. What in your opinion has happened to that American League East? I watched down the stretch last year, and I'll start with Toronto and how great of a season they have. What a team camaraderie playing against them when I was at the Rangers down the stretch. You come away from certain series and you say, that's an unbelievably great team. That's a World Series caliber team. Toronto, I came away with, there's something, they had something special going on. They had a nose for the finish line. They knew how to win games. Something going on special as far as a cohesive unit. And you don't have that all the time. I've been on really good, talented teams that we didn't have that. And I've been on decent teams that had it. There's a difference. They pushed the Dodgers to they were one game away from winning the World Series. Boston, I think, impressed last year and kind of overachieved for what people were expecting and did great. I thought they bettered their roster, and I thought they were going to be a better team. Nothing. Tampa Bay, for me, they need to be studied long term. How they do it year in and year out with that payroll, it's just it's a cap tip to that organization and what they do year in and year out. When you know, year to year, I can't name half the team, but right there, right. They compete and they knock at the door every single year. It's really impressive. Then Yankees at the top. What you've seen so far in the East with those teams.
Brett, what I would have told you on March 25 is completely different than what I'm going to tell you right now. And I would have seen the Yankees as a wild card team. I would have thought that Toronto was the team to beat in the division. I thought the Yankees were going to be good. I just thought that Toronto was still had the edge, and the Yankees needed to prove that to me, that they could beat Toronto head to head, because that was a big reason they didn't get the division last year. Yankees started out with, I think they had a 7-game lead at one point. That got lost away. And Toronto, you're right, they just had some magic going on last year. I covered that team during the ALCS against Seattle, so I was there every day, and I got to see that. And you're right that, look, if Isaiah Kiner-Falefa gets a better lead or is one or two steps off third base, they're World Series champions right now. So not to take anything away from what they did last year, they had some magic, something special was going on up there. I don't get that same vibe this year. That same thing doesn't seem to be there. And so did they overperform last year? Yeah, probably a little bit. And maybe the Yankees underperformed a little bit. But yeah, I thought you didn't mention Baltimore. Every year, I think this is going to be the year that Baltimore kind of delivers on the promise they have. And every year, it just doesn't really happen. Boston is way worse than I thought they were going to be. I thought that, I liked a lot of the pieces they had there. And if I had to forecast this whole division, I figured everyone was going to be at or around 500, better than 500. I thought the one team that wouldn't, maybe Tampa Bay, would have 79 wins or so. That's not going to happen. They're going to be well above 500, and the other teams are way underperforming. And I just think that the Yankees are the class of the American League right now. You look at them, who's going to stop them? Who's going to stop them in the American League? I feel like this has a feeling a lot of like when in 2024, after the Yankees late in the season, it felt like they had a free ride right to the World Series, because who was going to stop them? Kansas City, Cleveland? I didn't see that happening. But the problem is, when you get there, you got those big, strong teams in the National League right now. And that's what I feel like. The Yankees are among the best teams in baseball. They're the best in the American League.
I agree with you. And it's Tampa. I mean, there's three teams over 500 in the American League. Or no, I'm sorry. There's three teams with a plus run differential,
right,
in the American League.
And the Yankees are well above 100 in the run differential. So it's not even close. Yeah.
Right. Seattle, I think, second, and Tampa Bay's barely in the positive.
Yeah, we're talking like 5 or 10. Right.
Right. Right. I mean, I'm kind of, you know, when it comes to the East, which is your forte and what you cover on a daily basis, that's just one narrative of what's going on. I've got baseball buddies that, you know, come to me for their baseball questions, and I've kind of disappointed them this year. They're like, oh yeah, you said this. I said, I just tell you what should happen. I can't tell you. Yeah. Baseball is a crazy game. I look across the American League, I'm shell-shocked. I look at the Seattle Mariners. To be honest with you, I thought the Yankees were going to be good. I had Boston in to win that division. And really? I had Baltimore. Doesn't surprise me what they're doing. I didn't expect much out of them, but I expected the Seattle Mariner team to be the class of the American League with those five starters. Now six with Castillo, with Hancock coming into his own, with that offense they have in place. I thought in the division they're playing in, I thought that's a cakewalk for the Seattle Mariners. They're proven wrong. They're barely above 500. I just look at it and it's crazy. I think it's great for baseball because I think there's a lot of intrigue. I think the fans in so many cities are going to be engaged. I think that deadline is going to be unbelievable because you've got so many people in the, should we go for it? Should we not go for it zone, which not is always the best position if you're in the front office, but from a fan's perspective, I think the intrigue's great. I think it's great for the game. Your thoughts?
Absolutely. I think that that's what the extra wild cards do for you, because there's so many teams that you get down in July and it's like, well, we could be in it, or should we punt and give up on the season? And then you got 2 months where you're just kind of fast forwarding to the next season. I feel like most teams more often than not are going to be in it. And that makes the bidding prices go higher. And that's what we're talking about here as observers of this sport. Look, you're going to have to pay if you want to get a Tarek Skubal, for example, at the deadline. Like that, the asking price is going to be crazy on that if you want to rent him for a half season. So I'm so excited for what is going to happen in the next few weeks. You got the All-Star game coming up in Philadelphia, which is going to be unbelievable with America and the 250 and all that. I think that's going to be a great show that MLB is going to put on. And a few weeks after that, you got the trade deadline. Then you get down to the nitty gritty here and you start to see contender and who's a pretender. But the one thing I would say is that, yes, I think the talent level and the win-loss records are not where I would expect it in the American League. But once you get in that tournament, and look, the New York Knicks just proved it here. Different sport, I get it. But I think going in, nobody picked the Knicks to be the best team in the NBA. You've got to be the hot team at the right time. And you've lived this at times too, Brett, in your career. You run into a hot team in the postseason, they just knock you out. And so I think that it's going to be a great finish this season. I'm really looking forward to it.
And I think, you know, and I've covered this a lot. I've said this. The game is different now with the wild cards edition and so many teams having the ability to make the postseason. It's the easiest it's ever been in the history of baseball to get there. And I can argue it's the hardest it's ever been once you get there to get to the promised land and win it. So, you know, the purist in me, I love that 162. I love that grind. I think that proves over that amount of games who the best team is. We don't have that anymore. But then the postseason was like, oh, one series and we go to the World Series. Right. From an entertainment value, from a fan's perspective, I much enjoy the current so many people involved. You don't know what's going to happen. Like you said, once that postseason starts, you get the hot team. I just remember a few years back when the Arizona Diamondbacks were barely over 500. Next thing you know, knocking on the door. I think that's great for the game. And I just think, I don't know. I think that's why I opened with the strike lockout question. It's like there's so many good things going on, especially international. I hate that it comes to this right now with the game. I think in so many ways is thriving. Okay, let's get to the Yankees. Schlittler, he's kind of making himself. I think we're beyond the I got to see a little more stage. I'm watching. This guy has been doing it for a while now and doing it at an unbelievable pace. You got Cole back. Huge addition to that. I think Rodon is steady. Will Warren's done a nice job. Reminds me of a Schmidt a couple years ago.
I agree.
He's in that fourth or fifth spot. And they're cruising right now. I think that's the new way of Major League Baseball. I watched the Dodgers do it. You know, and a couple years ago, they talk about my Seattle Mariner team, 0-1, 116. Can the Dodgers beat it? On paper, absolutely. But I don't think that's how the Dodgers go about it. They just think, get to the tournament, like you said, right, get the guys healthy at the right time, and that's when the season really starts. By getting this type of lead, the Yankees are 46-30 while we're doing this show. They're kind of in, hey, we can cruise mode, we can give a guy's rest mode, we can absorb a couple injuries, which they have to this point. But I look at this roster and I look around the American League, and it's Schlittler, Cole, Rodon, Warren, Weathers currently. But you've got Fried that's going to come back in the second half. Talking about the Seattle Mariners and that great rotation they have, I'll tell you, that healthy Schlittler, Cole, Rodon, Fried, Warren, Weathers, possible Schmidt coming back. That's as good as any rotation for me, I think, in the American League.
Yeah, give me four of those guys in a postseason series, and I like the chances, right? So When Judge got hurt and it didn't look great, and we were still kind of in it. Does he have thoracic outlet syndrome, all that? And it turns out, of course, as you know, to be a fractured rib. But I was talking to a scout and it was basically kind of doom and gloom. Like, what are the Yankees going to do? And he said, it's fine. The Yankees are going to be fine because they can pitch, and go look at the arms they have there. And that's basically what you've seen here. Look, are they going to put up 8-10 runs a night? No. And they did struggle in that three-game series to hit with runners in scoring position against the Reds. That's going to come and go. But you've still got Cody Bellinger. He's having one of his best years. Ben Rice is going to be an all-star. Paul Goldschmidt at 38 is rolling the clock back. He has impressed me so much. He came into this, and I have a story up today, and I talked to him yesterday, and I just said, what kept you coming back here? Because I think that after last year, if he wanted to just say, that's it, I'm good, it was a career, I get it. Like, I would totally get it. He came back for 1 year, $4 million, which is, bargain rate for a guy with his resume, with MVPs on the shelf and gold gloves and all that. And he said, I just love being around these guys. I love being in this clubhouse. And I think that that's what the Yankees have kind of fostered here. And, I think Aaron Boone deserves a lot of credit for that, to have that kind of environment where guys just want to be at the ballpark and want to, even if they're not in the lineup, they want to be around that group. And that's what I think that brought Goldschmidt back. That comes from Boone. It comes from Aaron Judge. It comes from ownership, of course, wanting to put a team on the field that can win a championship every year. Now, that being said, they haven't won one since 2009. So we're all kind of looking at the clock here and saying, I go back to the Knicks again. You see how cool New York can be when there's a parade. I covered that parade in 09. I remember what the feeling was in the city where everybody was wearing Yankee hats, and you go down the street and you can't not hear the Jay-Z and Alicia Keys song coming out of every bar. City was Yankee crazy, and I feel like people are just hungry for that to happen again. And I get a little vibe of that in the clubhouse too. I think that guys know how special that would be because you're a part of forever when that happens.
Yeah, and obviously Judge being best offensive player in baseball. I don't want to disrespect Shohei Ohtani, what he's doing. But for me, Judge is that guy. When he's right, there's nobody close to him. He's the Bonds of this generation. He went down. Stanton's been down for a while now. Right. And that's why I look at that Yankee team. And I always tell my brother when we talk, I said, you're in a position where all you need to do is hold serve until you get you've got such a nice cushion. You're the class of the American League right now. All indications are you're going to the postseason. It's just when that postseason hits, let's have everybody healthy. You're going to have,
let me guess, when you say that, Brett, does he say there's a long way to go?
It's weird. You'd think off the record and when brothers talk, I could get some real feedback. Aaron, sometimes on the phone, I'll say, you're talking to me, right? There's no cameras around, but yeah, he will say that. But, and it's easier said than done, going back on the field for me a year ago, cause through the years of Aaron managing in New York, we have a lot of brother contact. And sometimes he's calling me, asking me opinions. Sometimes we're just talking. Sometimes we're just checking in, but our personalities are pretty different. Aaron's just, man, he wants to get to the ballpark at 12 o'clock and figure everything out. He's kind of like my dad. Mm-hmm. When I'm more of a, you realize that you can't hit, you can't play. All you can do is put the names up there and put them in position to win and let it go. It doesn't matter the lefty, righty, you made the right move. Nowadays, a computer can almost do that. It's not about that. It's managing people. And I used to have that kind of casual attitude, like, I don't know why this guy gets so stressed out. And when I went back on the field, and now all of a sudden, I'm the hitting coach and I've got 13 hitters and they're my little kid. They're my kids.
Sure.
I talked to Aaron and about a month into it, I said, Artie, and I call him Artie. I said, I want to apologize for telling you, why don't you just relax? I said, now I get it. I get it. The one thing that surprised me is I cared so much. It's like, I knew I was going to care. I knew I was going to, give him what I had, but I thought, I didn't realize that I cared like this. I wanted to go apologize to every coach, manager I ever played for, what I put him through, because I had no idea what they go through. So now I understand that. But I look at this team, Bednar, Hendrick, Cruz doing a great job in the bullpen. But if the Yankees, I think at the trade deadline need one thing, I think they need to address that pen. Being that everything else goes good, Grisham went down. He's there. He's on the IL right now. You're going to have all these guys coming back and hopefully come back without a bump in the road. You know, Freed being really important, obviously Judge being really important. But if you look to the Yankees at the trade deadline, for me, landing a big closer to really shore up that bullpen is it. You watching them every day. What do you think they need? And are they going to be a team that pulls the trigger at the deadline?
Well, yeah, they're definitely buyers. And I agree with you. Yeah, you look at bullpen. I think that's the easiest area to probably upgrade. You're going to have arms out there. And look, if they can go get a closer, fantastic. But also remember, you've got Freed coming back probably next month, and you can't have a six-man rotation. There's just not something they're not going to do. So one of those arms, whether it's Will Warren, whether it's Ryan Weathers, you're going to collapse them into the bullpen. And then you got a multi-inning option down there. That's pretty important. Carlos Lagrange, the kid down there in the minors who throws 99, 100, really opened eyes in spring training. I mean, when you've got Gerrit Cole and Max Fried telling you, that's something I've never seen before, a kid throwing 103, 104 in a live BP in an empty stadium, it was pretty cool to watch. And so I think that that can be a difference maker. And it reminds me a lot of what the Yankees had in 07 with Jabba Chamberlain when he came up in August, and it was almost like a get out of inning free card for Joe Torre. It was pretty insane. He would come in with that fastball slider, and that was all he needed. He would get you out of the inning, and then you get the ball to Mariano Rivera, and the Yankees were set up there in the late inning. So I feel like he could be that kind of impact. I know they want to talk about him as a starting pitcher going forward, but go win a pennant, go win a World Series, and then figure it out from there. And so whether what he winds up being, I know control, throwing strikes, that's been the issue with him, but that's an electric arm that I feel like can be a real difference maker. And I know that, you know, fans might not know his name now, but I feel like you look up in August, they're probably going to know who he is.
Going across town, what do you think of this this National League East and this Mets team? I mean, high expectations, huge payroll. Steve Cohen's got the question is, and at this stage of the season, I think the obvious answer to the layman would be, well, the Mets are probably sellers. I have no idea with Steve Cohen and what he wants to do. You never know what they're going to do. But I think on paper, for what the expectations were, everything going in, I think it's been a disappointment so far. How much do you keep your eyes on the Mets, and what are you seeing over there?
Yeah, I mean, you can't help but watch. I mean, you know, obviously I know Carlos Mendoza because he was a Yankee coach for a while. And so I feel like he's been dealt a tough hand there because he thought he was inheriting what you're talking about with Boone there. You basically had a Porsche you were given, and you were told keep it just between the white lines and drive it to the promised land, and he hasn't been able to do it, and it's not his fault. The players haven't performed, but now they're in a teardown. You let Pete Alonso go. You've had to kind of rebuild on the fly. The fans don't particularly love the team right now, and so you spent a lot of money on Juan Soto for $765 million, and this is the result you're getting. I think that if it proves one thing, it's that what the Dodgers are doing is actually pretty special, because everybody looks at the Dodgers and said, well, that's easy. You just go buy everybody and then you go win a World Series. Clearly not, because go look at what the New York Mets are doing. And I think that one by one, go look at the trades and the moves they've made. Nobody was pointing to that and saying, that's a terrible move. You shouldn't bring in Juan Soto. That's not going to help your team. Everybody thought it would, maybe long-term, maybe in year 14, it's not going to look great. But right now, that looked like a fantastic move, and it just has not translated. And so I'm not sure what it is with the culture there. It feels like it goes back beyond the current ownership, back into the Wilpons, back to Shea Stadium. Just whatever it is, the formula never seems to be quite right. And so, no, I know that Steve Cohen is trying to change the narrative there, and I feel like eventually he will get it right, but it's going to be a longer rebuild than I think anybody anticipated it was going to be.
Yeah, and new guy, you know, Holmes to me, by the way, he comes over from the Yankees, and I was very skeptical. Well, you can't just turn this guy with his motion, with his mechanics. You can't make him a starter. I was dead wrong there. He did a great job. He's on the shelf right now in the IL. Right. Louis Robert, I had no faith in that move. I've been watching Louis Robert for years. I'm not going to question his ability and his tool set. They're there without a doubt. But once again, he's down. Who knows when he's coming back? Polanco's had some nice years. He came over from Seattle Mariners a year ago. I think he hit 28, 29 home runs. And then Lindor, he's been the question mark. It's like, what is going on? I think he's back now. you've got to kind of be in that clubhouse to probably know what's really going on. I know as a player, you know, we tried to keep everything in house that was behind the scenes. Who knows what's going on there? But you're right. Mendoza, one of my favorite guys, and I don't love him that well. I've had several conversations with him, and I've really something about him strikes me as just impressive. A good guy, a poised guy. I know he worked for the Yankees as a bench coach for years, but I really like him. And so I'm kind of a part of me is always pulling for him a little bit, and to see this going on, that's a little tough. But that's once again, National League East. It's the way it is right now.
Oh yeah, and it's funny you mentioned that Clay Holmes injury because that happened in the Subway Series against the Yankees, and if I remember right, he stayed out there and he faced like seven more hitters with a broken leg, which is just insane. And then I saw him the next day because he was walking around on a little scooter and he had everything wrapped up, and it was like, God, he had a fractured tibia and he stayed out there. And I guess it's just your adrenaline going and you don't want to come out of the game, but wow, I mean, that's that showed me something. That's a gamer right there. And no, it was funny when the Mets did that. You know, I was asking people around the Yankees. I said, did you ever think about turning Clay into a starter? And, you know, Matt Blake, Boone told me, like, no, that was never on our radar at all. And it was so kind of like, all right, going to wait and see how this one turns out. It turned out great until it didn't. And freak injury, a line drive back up the middle, what are you going to do? But very impressive that, you know, Clay set his mind to that and said, I'm going to go become a starting pitcher. I think I can do this in this league. And he proved it. Now he's just got to get back healthy.
You mentioned earlier, and I'll finish with this. You mentioned Tarek Skubal, and you talk about throwbacks. This guy is a throwback.
Oh, I love Skubal.
He's just, you know, he's got balls. He's just an old school. Give me the ball. Get out of my way. Get off my mound. But in his private life, he's a humble kid, a thankful kid, a guy that's worked hard to get to where he was. I played golf with him a few years ago, and I remember he said to me, he said, Booney, and this is after his first Cy Young, and he said, Booney, he said, this is unbelievable. He said, and he just had questions for me about my time and my career and what it was like versus there, but what it's like now. And he said to me, he said, you know, this is unbelievable winning this Cy Young. He was just about to get his first arbitration and make some real money. And he said, this is all awesome. He goes, but you know what's funny? He said, people think I just got here and became I was just a Cy Young. He goes, right. Look at my bubblegum card the last 4 or 5 years and what I went through to get here. He said, there were times where I thought I'm never going to make it. I'm going to play in the big leagues for a year. I'm going to get out of here. And he said, you know, something clicked. I found something that worked for me. And here we are winning a Cy Young, but it was a real humble way of going about it. And you get to see that when you play a round of golf with someone, you get to see if they're going to be humble for the cameras and in front of me to make me think they're a good guy, but you can see through it. And he really was. He was really humble about, hey, I'm thankful as hell. And he's got he's got some confidence, but it wasn't arrogance. It was like, I've been at the bottom and right now I'm at the top, but that being at the bottom has taught me how to behave when I'm at the top. I think a lot of us go through that in our journey because we're kids at one point, then we turn into big boys and we look back and we go, man, we look at the things we did when we were younger and the way we thought and the way we walked and the way we talked, and we thought, I had a lot to learn. I think he's already done that at a young age. Your thoughts on Skubal? That's going to be the big, if Skubal comes back from this injury and pitches like the Skubal the last 2 years, back-to-back Cy Young Award winners, he might fetch more than anybody in the history of the trade deadline. Whew. Who do you think is going to go after him? And for me, it's got to be a team that's going to want to keep him, right? I mean, for a rental, you're probably going to have to give up the most that's ever been given up. And I don't think anyone just wants a rental. So they want to think long-term if they're going to give up the minor league system and maybe a couple good big leaguers to get a Tarek Skubal.
No, I think and you're absolutely right, because we, up here in New York, we had Skubal at the baseball writers dinner when he picked up those Cy Young awards. And it's just so impressive how he carries himself. And, you know, some of these guys come in on the red carpet and they kind of, you know, they're flashy and look at me, and they've earned that definitely. But Skubal, I feel like that humble, what you're talking about there, that came through, but also the grit and the focus and the determination, the idea that, yeah, I'm here to pick up the Cy Young Award tonight, but I'll be back next year. And I'll be back the next year, the year after that. It's kind of that mindset, that focus. So that really impressed me. And yeah, I think it's crazy, honestly. You don't can't tell me the Detroit Tigers can't keep one of the best pitchers in their history. It's crazy to me we're even talking about him being a rental, because if I'm a Detroit fan, I want to watch that guy for his entire career. I mean, this is a dying breed we're talking about here. The Justin Verlanders, the Max Scherzers, the Garrett Coles. We're not going to see too many more of these guys, and you've got one right there in your living room. I can't believe we're talking about Detroit letting him go. I understand the situation, what they're in, with you want to gauge the marketplace. But to me, I'd rather keep him if I'm Detroit. But, yeah, you better get a lot back for him. It better be a 4, 5, 6-player package that we're talking about here. To me, it kind of reminds me of what the Yankees had to do when they traded for Juan Soto. In that situation where, and you got a full year out of Soto, so maybe the asking price won't be as great, but they had to give up 5-player package there to San Diego to go get him. I think that's the kind of thing that it's going to take. And look, but I think it also, you need a starting pitcher at the deadline. Pitching is the key to the kingdom. Brian Cashman has always said that. I think it is true. You get no short series. You want a stud like Tarek Skubal on the mound for you. And I think that whoever is going to go get him, look, championship flags fly forever. Prospects are cool, but parades are cooler. I've heard that 100 times, and I actually do believe it. I think that if you're in position to go for it, you got to go for it and then figure out what the cost is later.
Yeah, and I think it's a different – we're talking differently right now if Detroit had played the way everybody thought Detroit was going to play. If they're winning right now, we're not talking about trading Skubal, but the way the season's gone, I think that leads to a lot of the speculation.
I'd still rather keep him forever if I'm Detroit.
Yeah. Oh,
I'll build too. Around him, and we'll try again next year.
Absolutely. Okay, you wake up. It's August 1st. Crystal ball, Brian Hoke. What have the Yankees done?
By August 1st, I think the Yankees are probably going to – trade for at least one bullpen arm. Maybe David Bednar now becomes your setup man. I think that Carlos LeGrand is going to be banging on the door, and he's going to maybe become your seventh inning man. You're going to have Fernando Cruz there. Brent Hydrick, you're probably going to scale him back a little bit because there's been such a heavy workload. Camilo Doval, I'm not sure what they're going to do with him. Maybe he's in mop-up relief. Maybe you flip him to another team. I'm not exactly sure, but it's clear that he's probably not going to be an answer for you. And I think let me surprise you here. Yankees might trade for a shortstop. I think that they could bolster their middle infield. I think the middle infield would be an area where the Yankees might make a move here. And then you got Max Fried coming back. So by August 1st, you should have Fried back in the rotation. You know, knock on wood, if you're the Yankees, you got a healthy Schlittler. You got Cole. Clark Schmidt might be back in some kind of relief role. So the Yankees are going to have a lot of pitching coming on the way. And I think that you look up August 1st, they're probably going to have a pretty good lead in the American League East too.
All right, Brian Hoke, I appreciate it. It's been great. For those of you out there watching the Brett Boone podcast, now check it out on YouTube. For those of you listening to the Boone podcast, it's on the Odyssey app, wherever you download your podcast. Until next time, keep it here. Brian, thank you.
You got it, Brett. Anytime.